The message this morning comes from two passages, one from the book of Job and one from the book of John. I chose the book of Job because it seems so appropriate for the situation that we now face. And I picked the passage from the book of John because, to my knowledge, this was the last sermon on the book of John on Easter Sunday morning that Amanda Burton ever heard. And I would like you to think about that today as you're here, that this could be the last sermon that you ever hear. One pastor said he preached as a dying man to dying men and women, as one who may never preach again. And so let's hear the Word of God this morning. Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 22. For those of you who are familiar with the book of Job, Job was a godly man. He was a blameless man. He was a holy man who feared God. And because of his faith, because of his faithfulness, God picked him out to undergo severe trial. And Job was a very wealthy man. But tragedy was allowed to come upon Job, in which he lost his 10 children. He lost all of his wealth and eventually got very sick and lost his health. But we learn from God's Word really what our brother Block Captain said: we don't ask why, but we trust in the Lord. Listen to what happened to Job and how he responded. Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 22. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and there came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck them down and struck the servants down with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Father, we pray you would come, Lord, that you would be with us as we consider this passage. Father, we pray that you would help us to respond, not like Job's wife, but like Job, that we would fall down and worship you, that we would fall down and bless you, that we would fall down and trust you. Lord, we pray that you would work, that you would comfort, that you would heal. Lord, we pray that people who are here that may not know Job's God now would know him this day for Jesus' sake. Amen. We see great loss and suffering in this passage. We see Job's most valuable possessions. It may be hard for us to understand. We hear cattle and sheep and donkeys dead, and we think, what's the big deal? Well, if they lose that, they lose food, and they lose food, they die. And so Job's some of his most precious possessions, oxen and donkeys and sheep and camels, they're gone. They're gone. We see not only him losing his ability to provide food for his family, but we see that he loses those who are most precious to him. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and they are now dead. Mothers, fathers, can you imagine losing one child? Job lost 10. And later on, we see in the book of Job that Job got these terrible sores. He lost his health. He had these great boils and was under great unrest. How did Job respond? We see a proper God-honoring response in our passage. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Oh, friends, this is a hard situation. This is a tragedy that we're thinking about today. A young woman, a young beautiful woman made in God's image with two young beautiful children, 25 years old, her whole life in front of her, killed in a house fire. And this is a tragedy. This is a tragedy worth weeping over, worth crying over. As you weep and cry and share your memories, this is a tragedy that we ought to weep and cry over. And Job's friends, if you know the book, they started off well because they came to Job, and it says for 2 weeks, or for a week, they sat with him and they said nothing. And they were just there. And they wept with those who weep. We see Job respond in a godly way. And we don't understand. We see two responses in the book of Job. We see Job's godly response, that he is worshiping God, trusting God, hoping in God, throwing himself on God's mercy, and blessing the Lord. And we see Job's wife's response in Job 2:9. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." Friends, some of you may be tempted to respond like Job's wife. Curse God and die. And I just want to plead with you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Take Job as your example. Take Job as your encouragement and trust the Lord. Even though you don't understand, and you may never understand until you stand before Him in eternity, God's desire is for you to trust Him. As one minister has said, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. Trust His heart. And I was so encouraged when I first spoke with Sister Ann Jeanette Owens. Because she responded like Job. When we spoke on the phone about this, she blessed the Lord. She blessed the Lord that it wasn't worse than it could have been. She blessed the Lord for those who could have been there in that house and were not. She blessed the Lord for the two lives that were spared. She blessed the Lord and thanked the Lord. And not only that, but her focus was on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Her hope is in Christ. You see, we trust God even when we don't understand. Even Job struggled with this. Job feared God. Job was a blameless man, but even Job failed to trust God fully. You see, even the best of saints are men and women, still sinners, still sin present in their hearts. Even the best of saints are still sinners. And so though Job was blameless, though Job trusted God, though Job was God's special man to suffer and show the devil that he would still trust God no matter what, Job said, "Though they slay me, I will trust in Him." Job wasn't perfect. Job was still a sinner. And God had to come to Job at the end of the book. When Job had these questions, "Why, Lord? Why, Lord? Why, Lord?" And God had to take Job to the woodshed, so to speak. Come on. In Job 38, brace yourself like a man, God said to Job. Were you there when I created the world, Job? Were you there when I made the ocean and set its limits? Were you there when I give orders for the sun to rise and set every morning and every evening? Are you there? Do you do that? Do you control the rain and the wind and the lightning, Job? You think you know better than me? Do you provide food for the lions and the ravens? Do you give the horse its mighty strength? Do you think that you could do things in a better, more righteous way than me, Job? And in Job 42, Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Friends, the best of people, the best of saints still need to repent in dust and ashes every single day. Our tears of repentance are dirty. Job said he heard of God, but now he's seen Him. Friends, God is amazing. God is amazing. He is the eternal God who has always existed. There was nobody before Him and there'll be nobody after Him. You can't impeach Him and He's not going to resign, as Dr. Lockridge said. He is God Almighty. He knows all things. He controls all things. He is all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, everywhere, all at the same time. And He does all things well. And He will never leave you nor forsake you. Even in this tragedy, He will never leave you nor forsake you. But what I want us to meditate upon this morning is that even Job did not trust God persistently, perpetually, and perfectly. Even Job was a sinner. And friends, we are all sinners. I am a sinner. I deserve God's wrath in hell for my sin, for my failure to trust God, for my worry, for my anxiety. We're sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is why there's death in the world. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, we need a Savior. We need a Savior. We need someone who came and slayed death so that we can rejoice that this is not the end, that house fires are not the end. And friend, there's only one man who conquered death. There is only one. Every other founder of a religion is dead. Jesus is alive. You see, God so loved the world that He sent a man into the world who could live up to God's standard, who did all things right, who always obeyed, always loved, always served, always thought about God and others before himself. Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus came, and He walked among us, and He served and loved. He did miracles. He made the blind to see. He made the deaf to hear. He cleansed lepers. He spoke to the wind and the rains, and it obeyed Him. He forgave sin, which only God can do, but He's God come in the flesh. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. And I am is the name of God, from Exodus 3:14. He raised the dead. He walked on water, and the Bible says only God Almighty treads upon the waves. God Almighty is the husband in the Old Testament, and Jesus came as the bridegroom for His bride. Thank you. He loved and served and obeyed, never sinned. And then He died on a cross. Why did He die on a cross? That mercy tree we heard so beautifully sung about at the beginning of our service, because the law of God that Jesus was born under the law said, "Cursed be any man who's hanged on a tree." And Jesus, who did not deserve to be cursed, the only one who did not deserve to die, the only one who did not deserve to face the wrath of God, He hung up on that cross where the Father crushed His Son. Isaiah 53 says He was stricken and smitten by God. Isaiah 53 says He was crushed. It pleased the Lord to crush Him. Jesus took our sins upon Himself, and the Father crushed His own Son. You see, somebody's got to pay. God doesn't just forgive sin. If you've ever heard that God is just merciful and forgives sin, that is blasphemy against the just and holy God. That's like a judge in Philadelphia letting murderers and rapists go free without paying the penalty. It's unfair. No, God punishes every sin, either in hell forever or on that cross in His Son. And so Jesus bore the penalty that sinners deserve. And He was buried. And then He rose from the dead. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered hell. And the penalty was paid. Justice is done. God can now forgive sin and still be a righteous God because He punished sins in His Son. And friend, I'm asking you, if you're here this afternoon and you've not trusted in Jesus, I'm asking you now to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. Amen. This is Amanda's only hope. I know that right now, Amanda, more than ever when she was alive, wants you to hear this message. More than ever when she was alive, she wants you to hear this gospel message, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And what does Jesus want us to do in situations like this? Jesus wants us to weep. Jesus wept over His friend Lazarus. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. It is good to weep and grieve the loss of our friend Amanda Burton. Jesus wants us to cry out to Him, "Oh Lord, be merciful. Help me, Lord. Help me trust You in this. I don't understand. Lord, I feel tempted to be angry with You, God. Please forgive me. Help me trust You in this, Lord. Help me give my grief to You, Lord Jesus." Jesus wants us to look to Him as the only one who can save. Jesus wants us to hope in Him in this situation. And Jesus wants us to repent of sin. In Luke 13, 1 through 5, we read, "There were some present at that very time who told Him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And He answered them, 'Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who live in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" Jesus wants us to look at ourselves and see our sin and repent and turn to Him for mercy. Amanda Burton sat in this building on April 21st, 2019. It was Easter Sunday morning, when Christians traditionally in a special way celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate His resurrection every Sunday and every day, I hope. But it is a special day for many Christians, and Amanda was here. And she heard a sermon that was the last sermon she would ever hear, and I want to briefly share the text from that sermon. John 20, verses 1 through 17. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid Him.' So Peter went out with the other disciple and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, whom had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the Scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." These were the words that our friend Amanda heard on that glorious day, celebrating the fact, the historical fact of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ who conquered death. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he said, "Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" This is the good news. This is the good news. And we pray that you would believe in him, his life, his death, his resurrection. We pray, oh family, that you would, this is where you would find your comfort, in the risen King. As our brother already said, people are going to leave today, but Jesus will never leave you. Jesus will never forsake you. Jesus will be there all the time. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. He will be there. He will comfort you. He will strengthen you. He will dry your tears. He will help you through the hard times. Jesus will be there. And chills almost went down my spine when again my brother spoke of John 14. We didn't collaborate on this, but he brought up John 14, and that's how I'm ending my message today. John 14, 1 through 3, where Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And my prayer for you today is that you would cling to Jesus. Like Mary in this passage, cling to Him. Hold on to Him. Know that for those of you who have turned to Him and believed in Him, He's gone to prepare a place for you. And He's coming back to take you to Himself, where you will be with Him forever. And He will wipe away every tear from your eye. And He will comfort you and give you peace. And He will give you everlasting joy at His right hand someday. And so, Father, we pray. Lord, we ask that You would be merciful. We ask, O God, that You would work upon the family and friends gathered here today. We ask, O God, that You would grant them the faith like Job, that though they may not understand it, though they may have many questions about why, Lord, why? We ask, O God, they would trust You. We pray You would grant them faith to trust in You, and know that you are good. Know that you are sovereign. Know that you have a plan. Know that you are working everything for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Father, we pray that you would be with them, that you would comfort them and strengthen them and help them, Father. And God, we do pray for those who may be here this day who do not know Christ. And we ask, O Lord, that you would grant them faith and repentance today, that they might know Him who is the resurrection and life. And so we pray for Jesus' sake that you would do this. In Christ's name, amen. Well, our only hope is in Christ alone. And we have one final hymn to sing to Him.